Good morning. Thank you all for listening to and attending to this session. Following the trend that we had in the last talks, I also changed my title, so it shifted a little bit from what appears in the book. And I will first of all like to thank to my co-authors because they did an excellent job, and here are the results of our work. I would try to dig into what we start to observe when we collected a set of ECA surveys and then became crazy because none of the patterns we started to see relate to each other, and we didn't really know what to do. But there are many things that can be extracted from this mess. During my presentation, I will just say a few words about the motivations of this work, which methods we used, although the field was already described by Carl van der Linden in the former chat. I will present what kind of sensor we used for this work and the tool we used for comparing the patterns we got. And these are the results we are going to talk about, and just a few conclusions to finish. We know that non-invasive measurements of apparent electrical conductivity can provide an interpretation of soil water content dynamics at the field scale and other soil properties that are related to ECA, that any other soil property that is influenced by electrical charges. In the literature, we can find many works that explain how the knowledge about the soil spatial variability obtained from ECA surveys can be useful for estimating or interpreting other soil key properties. The differences in surveys can be quantified to provide an especially referenced information about the ECA temporal stability and, in some way, the soil temporal variability. Our objective was just to see if the quantitative information we got from the temporal variability in the ECA maps can be helpful to understand the spatial variability in soil water dynamics. The field was already described, so I will just pass these few slides. It's a display soil with long changes over time. Just to mention that this field is quite independently from the surrounding areas in terms of the hydrological pathways or runoff, but only at some point is connected to the other field that is in this point, where there is a channel that connects both fields. So the runoff from this field can get into this field at this point. The kind of sensor we used is the EM38, and that we placed in a PVC sled to cover the whole field and take samples all over the field and collect at the same time coordinates and measurements. The period we cover is the whole crop rotation of the field, and at least two surveys were done on each of the crops, although the surveys were done in the period between crops, because once the crop is established, we were not allowed to get into the field. So during this whole period, we sample ECA and map the patterns of this ECA. As we see in the pictures, this pattern is changing over time. So you don't really know which one is the most representative, nor what are the key aspects of this, although you can more or less identify that are areas of the field that used to have lower values of ECA and other parts of the field that used to have higher values of ECA, but the pattern is not kept in time. So to compare these maps and these patterns, we use a map comparison tool that more or less emulates our eyes, but in a quantitative way, an objective way, so you can get numbers to compare one map to the other and to see which areas of the field can be more similar or less similar. We can also get an overall measurement of dissimilarity, but also you can get a pixel-by-pixel similarity index. So the index that shows you the similarity between maps, in this case, is the FATSI fuzzy numerical similarity index. It's an index between 0 and 1. 0 means that the two maps are totally different. 1 means that the maps are the same pattern. And it doesn't only consider a point-to-point comparison, but also takes into account the neighbors, and also takes into account the values of the pixels. So if, for example, in one map you have a value of 2 and in the other map you have a value of 3, the values are not exactly the same, but they are in some way related. So it allows for a fuzziness in these categories. So the way it works is this way. We have, for example, one map, and the other map that was taken 19 days after this one. Between these two maps, rainfall occurred and some soil tillage was done in part of the fields. So the similarity between each pixel, the comparison of pixels between each map is represented here. The areas in white and purple shows the areas that were more similar between these two maps, and in light blue, the areas that largely change in time. So in this case, for example, the tillage plots show the higher similarity because tillage in some way homogenizes the profile, while the direct drilling plots had a separate behavior. If you perform this comparison with all the possible pairs of maps you can construct from these 13 surveys, you have these kind of matrices. And the key findings here is that none of the maps has a high similarity with any of the others. So the pattern in the ECA pattern in any of these maps can be used for estimating the pattern in any other, because the pattern are uncoupled. And also, for example, in the direct drilling case, there are some cases that are totally different. So if we represent this matrix as a distance in time between the collection of maps, you have this kind of exponential decay. So the more separate in time the two maps are, the less similar they are, and the closer in time they are, the most similar they are. However, when some sudden change like rainfall or any other operation occurs, this similarity suddenly decreases. If you have these all possible pairs of comparisons and take the similarity between each of them and calculate the mean of these maps, you have this pattern. Here you can identify areas of similarity and dissimilarity. The areas that used to have a lower similarity were those located in the areas of non-local controls along the drainage lines, and also one area of the field that has a separate behavior of the rest, because here the depth to the milestone is lower than in the other part of the field. So it's more affected to other changes. While this part of the field that has a different aspect and it's more exposed to radiation and winds and also has a different structure, in this case in this area it's more laminar rather than polygonal like you see in the rest of the field, used to have a higher similarity over time. And how this similarity changed over time is expressed in this map that shows the standard deviation of these similarities at each pixel, and pretty much show the same pattern as we observed before. The areas along the drainage lines used to be more variable, while the part of the field that has a more local control with a more favored preferential flow in the vertical axis has a lower standard deviation. So these maps pretty much tell us that the temporal variability in ECA is captured can be useful to interpret the temporal variability in other soil properties. And if you consider that temporal variability to estimate, for example, soil water content, the more you know about the temporal stability, in this case, the larger number of surveys you have, so the larger knowledge you have about the special the temporal variability in soil properties, the better you can estimate the soil water content. So if you only use one survey, the highest correlation coefficient you can, or the higher coefficient of determination you can have is 0.1, while if you consider five surveys instead of one, your performance increase very, very fast. And just to conclude, say that as we saw, the patterns in ECA change over time, so you never know which one is the most representative. And none of the maps had a high similarity with other maps, except when they were developed from surveys that were very close together. And the similarity was usually higher in conventional tillage because the tillage has an homogenizing effect on soil spatial variability. And the low similarity areas were located in where the non-local controls predominate over the local controls, while the higher similarity was found in the areas that the local controls are stronger than the non-local controls. So if we pull together all the information provided about the temporal variability obtained from these maps, you can better estimate other soil properties, like in this case, the soil water content. So thank you all.
Time for questions.
Is there a minimum number of times or under conditions that it would be most helpful?
I think it's site-specific dependent, because it depends on how much your soil changes. In this case, it's a vertisol that largely change their volume and conditions. So depends also on what level of accuracy you need for your purpose. So in this case, I cannot say a certain number of surveys is the best. It depends on how your resources are and what's the purpose of your project. Yeah, we use the sensor we use have the two sensors coupled together, so we got the two measurements at the same time. But the patterns and the behavior was pretty much the same. In fact, the correlation over time was always around 0.90 something. So they both show pretty much the same. It's a quite homogeneous soil in depth, so the signals were very similar together. Yes, but I have some textural data, but as it's so high and so homogeneous, you cannot really relate the pattern of clay with the pattern of ECA. Because clay content is quite homogeneous over the field. It's hard to discriminate between that. And at the same time, as this clay content is so high, when we were analyzing it with the densimeter method, we had a lot of noise in our measurements. So you cannot really say which part of your data is because of experimental error or because of spatial variability.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.